The title of my sermon this morning is To Be a Father. Evangelist Richard Bailey asked his wife one night, "Sweetheart, what are some of the little things that you don't like about me that really bother you?" Daniel has never asked me that. He knows better. But Evangelist Bailey wanted to change some things. He wanted to make some changes that would make his wife happy. So several hours later, he asked his wife, he says, "Can I go to sleep now and can we talk about this tomorrow?" So apparently there was a bunch of stuff that she found wrong with their relationship. But what was Reverend Bailey actually doing? He was reflecting. He was examining himself. He was trying to identify things that would help him to become a better person. So today is Father's Day, and I want us to take a close look at what God says being a father is all about. There are four things that the Bible says that you need to do in order to be a good father. The first thing is to be a man who has been forgiven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul instructs us to examine yourself and see whether you're living in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail to meet the test? He instructs us to examine ourselves. Are you living in the faith? Do you know that you have Jesus Christ in your heart? In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, "You must be born again." This is the second birth. It's a time when Jesus comes into your heart and becomes your personal Savior. If you do this, you'll be a better person because of it. You'll become a better husband. You'll become a friend and a better father. In Romans chapter 4, verse 7, says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight." Before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, we feel like that we're carrying the weight of the world upon our shoulders. Nothing we do is right. Everything about our life, our relationship with our spouse, with our children, everything seems to be upside down. We're disobedient when we do not live according to the laws of God. That is sin. But when that sin of disobedience has been forgiven, those sins are put out of sight. They're not remembered anymore. And you know what? When somebody does us wrong, we can forgive that person all day long. But do you know we're not going to forget it? That's just not human nature. When somebody ruffles our feathers, we can say, "I forgive you," till the cows come home. But we'll remember it. That scar will be there. But you know what the miraculous, most wonderful, most glorious thing is? When Jesus Christ forgives us for our disobedience, for our sins, not only does he just forgive us, he forgets all about all of that stuff. There's no scars, there's no wounds. Because the blood of Jesus has covered all of that sin, all of that garbage, all of those mistakes that we have made in our life. Amen. And we can have eternal life because God has forgiven and He has forgot the things that we were harboring in our hearts. Those sins are put out of sight. When you repent and ask God for forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, we are saved. When God forgives us, He wipes the slate clean. He doesn't drag it up 5 years down the road. You remember back when you said so and so, you hurt my feelings. And I ain't forgot it yet. God doesn't remember it because it has been put under the blood. And it slates clean, folks, when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Being a Christian prepares you to perform a parent's greatest obligation, and that's raising children. Now, we know that most fathers watch their children be born, then they watch over them, and they have the feeling that they need to protect that child. They need to provide for that child. But to be a Christian father, there are three more important things, important duties that need to be performed for your children. Listen carefully. You need to teach your child about the Lord. The Bible isn't just a book of rules of just do's and don'ts, thou shalt not. That's not what the Bible is all about. Yeah, there's thou shalt nots in there. But the Bible is filled with thou shalt. It's true. Assessment of how we should handle life situations. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand what I've been through. You just don't understand my circumstances. I don't, but God does.
Amen.
And He's right there to help you with whatever situation life may throw at you. Being politically correct has its place. And it helps us to avoid being rude and callous to others. But being biblically correct is so much more important. The truths of the Bible don't change with public opinion or with convenience. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, says, parents, do not be hard on your children. Raise them properly. Teach them and instruct them about the Lord. Pray for them and with them. Don't just pray for them. Pray with them. Teach that child how to call on the name of God. Our Father who art in heaven is fine in Sunday school. But that child needs to know that whenever they kneel down by their bed at night and they pray to God, that God will hear and God will answer that prayer for that child. Just like He answers prayers for us. Lead them into a personal faith in Jesus. They don't always do what you expect them to do or that you even hope for them to do. All you can do is to raise that child up to have faith in Jesus Christ and to worship God and to put God first. They may stray. Every one of us is strayed. So why should our children be any exception to the rule? Some children even turn their backs on God. But don't ever give up on them. Don't ever give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your family. Always keep them in your prayers and before the throne of God. Keep on praying for them. Keep on loving them. Keep on hoping that they will return to God. After all that God has done for us, for you and for me, when we failed Him so miserably and turned our backs on Him, what did He do? What did God do? He waited patiently with his arms wide open to receive us unto himself again. That's forgiveness. That's love. Greater love than we could ever imagine, to think and to know that regardless of what we do or say, that God is standing there with outstretched arms. He said, Karen, I love you. Come on back. He's saying that to every one of us today, not just to the fathers, but to the mothers and to all men, women, boys, and girls. He's saying, I'm standing there with my arms outstretched in love, waiting for you to come back. Children also need to feel safe. And fathers can go a long way to making a child feel safe. But they can't begin to do it as well as Jesus or our Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus apparently loved the lake shore, the seaside. In Mark, we find Jesus teaching again on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And afterward, he ultimately saves the lives of his disciples. What happened? In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. He was already in the boat, so as they started out, leaving the crowd behind, although they were probably boats that followed them, but soon after they were out in the middle of the lake, a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And frantically, the disciples woke him up shouting, Teacher, teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the water, Peace, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me? When there's a storm in your life today, Jesus is the one to call on. He calms the storms in your life and he calms the storms in your very soul. To be a good father, you have to be a man with patience. In chapter 8 of the book of Romans, Paul tells the church in Romans, in Rome, that even though they are Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, they still groan to be set free from pain and suffering. But we must wait for God to give us our new bodies. We must wait. Wait patiently. Wait confidently. And while you're waiting, have faith and hope for the future. Never, ever give up on God.
Amen.
You know, it seems like that a lot of times we pray and we ask God for a certain thing in our life. And because it doesn't materialize, we can't see it immediately. We think God has forsaken me. We pray prayers for healing. And because we don't see the miracle immediately, we think, God, where are you in all of this? Any of us that have watched people in our families suffer, and we've prayed, God, please, God, heal them. Ease that pain. Ease that suffering, Lord, that you may be glorified. And because a miracle didn't happen right then, like it did when Jesus turned the water into wine, we think, God has forsaken me. God has not forsaken us, not for one minute. I think God wants us to learn patience. And that's what we're talking about here. God wants us to be patient and have patience. Have faith without wavering. The next time that you're faced with a setback, don't even think about giving up your dreams or your calling in life. You may fail today, but success is right around the corner for those who persevere In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope that we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Amen. He will work patience in us, but we have to stop fighting God. That's human nature. God don't move fast enough to suit us, so we need to help God out here. We need to back up and let God have control.
Amen.
He will work patience in us, but we have to stop fighting. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. God's shoulders are broad and strong, and he wants you to lean on him today. We live in a world that has learned to depend on recovery programs, psychotropic drugs, self-help books, street drugs, motivational speakers, alcohol, and the list goes on and on and on of things that we have learned to depend on. But God is the only one strong enough to support the full weight of your challenges and your problems. Nothing else that you do in life can take care of the situation like God can. God can renew your spirit. He can encourage you. He can lift you up when you're at your lowest point in life. He can strengthen you. He can motivate you, both body and soul.
Amen.
No one else can do it better than God. God's way is better than your way. If God moving in your life and you don't understand it, if it's not what you prayed for, if it's not being done your way, remember this. It's because you're not God.
Amen.
Thank you. We're not God. So we have to back up and let God take control.
Amen.
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 God is in control today. God talks to the faithful. When God says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. The fourth thing that you need to be a good father is to be a man with humility and gratitude. Are we today cruising through life, missing countless opportunities to be humble, to be grateful for all that you have? Slow down and count your blessings. You know, life is too short to leave God out. We can't do it and have the hope of eternal salvation. Slow down and count your blessings. Give thanks to God. And throw your hands up and say, this is the best life ever, because you're letting Jesus Christ take hold of the steering wheel of your heart. The last of the four things to be a good father, be a man of mercy, love, and care. Your children need someone to show them love. They need someone to encourage them to keep on keeping on, to keep on going. If you spend too much time attending to only the more pressing things in life, you'll miss out on a great deal. Don't overlook God's greatest blessing. They may come in silence and in still small voice. As you occupy yourself with things that are loud and spectacular, you may not hear what's actually important for you to hear. Watch closely what's going on around you. You may be God's answer to someone else's prayer. Be that someone who can listen confidently, who can help out financially, who can be there at a time of need. Be that kind of person with open eyes to your children, that they will see God in you. When your children look into your eyes, what do they see? This ain't a question just for fathers. This is for mothers and fathers. When our children look at us, what do they see? Do they see somebody that's loving and kind and caring, that they can trust in? Or do they see somebody that comes in the house long enough to eat and change clothes and go sit down in front of the TV and say, "Don't bother me, I'm busy"? Think about it. We need to take time, mothers and fathers, for our children. We need to designate a time to talk to that child about God, about God's love, about God's word, about the Bible, and that whenever I as a mother fail or you as a father fail, that God is there to pick up the pieces.
Amen.
Our children need to know that, that we are human and we will make mistakes, but God never fails. Never will He fail us. To be a godly father, you must be a forgiven father. You must be patient. You must be humble, grateful. You must be a man of mercy, loving and caring about others. In Psalm 68, verse 5, God is a father to the fatherless. In 2 Corinthians 6, 18, "And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." We serve a God who is merciful, a God who loves us unconditionally and cares about the very number of hairs on our head. And if He cares about the lilies growing out in the yard, reckon how much more He cares for us, for me, for you.
Amen. Think about it.
This has been a lot to think about, but this is what God wants you as fathers and we women as mothers. This is what He expects out of us, to put Him first. There's a scripture that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added unto you." Let us pray. Most Holy Father, sometimes we feel like we're at our rose end. We don't know what to do next. We don't know which way to turn. But we're so thankful, Lord, because regardless of what happens, we can always turn to You. Lord, we're human and we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes little mistakes, sometimes big old huge mistakes. But God, You are a loving, forgiving God. And You are our example of how that we should live holy and acceptable lives to You. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to have a personal relationship with You, we pray, Lord, that You would come into their heart. Help them to realize, Father, that You love them unconditionally, that nothing they have ever said or ever done can make You love them any less. Father, forgive us, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.